there's a whole panel of nutrients that chickens and poultry in general are not getting when you just buy the run-of-the-mill bags at the store.
Shall we say the P word, Purina?
Yes. The KFC of the poultry world.
The Ready Life, into the country.
Hi, I'm Nick Meisner.
And I'm Lisa, his wife.
We want to welcome you back to the Ready Life podcast, where we help you become as independent as possible for your basic necessities like water, food, heat, and the power that we so often rely on for these things. And in this episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. It does relate to basic necessities, food and things like that, mm-hmm. but we wanted to show you something that has worked really, really well. We wanted to share it with you in case it's helpful. And it's relating to our chickens
and turkeys. Yeah. If you can't tell.
Jack is back there making his presence known. But yeah, you know, our whole reason for having birds was a couple of reasons. One is we have kids and they love animals, and it's so good for kids to, they learn a lot of life lessons from taking care of animals.
Responsibility and, yeah, learning how to take care of them. And, yeah, there's something special about children and animals on a homestead.
Right. And then the other thing was that if we're going to eat eggs and that sort of thing, we wanted to be in control of our own food source and have the highest quality possible, where it's got lots of nutrition and where it doesn't have the bad stuff and mm-hmm. does have the good stuff.
Yes.
And really that first part has the good stuff. That's the part that I think often gets so overlooked.
That's true.
You know, so often we're focused on doesn't have the bad stuff. In other words, organic or non-GMO or these kinds of labels. All that's telling you is that it doesn't have some of the bad stuff, but it doesn't tell you anything about whether it has the good stuff, the nutrition. And so that's something that you've really been looking into a lot lately with these birds.
Yeah, that's true. It kind of all started, our whole bird journey actually started with when Nathan found that turkey egg out in the wild and we hatched it, and long story short, we ended up getting some more turkeys, and
hatched it with a hot water bottle.
Yeah, he did.
Which, if you've ever hatched eggs before, you know how unlikely that is to have one egg that you found out in the wild and then hatch it with a hot water bottle. Remarkable.
Yeah, I handed him back the egg. I checked it to see if it was viable, and it was. There was a little chick developing inside there, and
our dog brought it to us.
No, yeah.
She picked it up very gently in her mouth, found it in the woods, and brought it to us.
Yes, yeah. And little public service announcement here. My son's working on writing a book about his experience with turkeys, but anyhow, all that to say that that's kind of how we started into our journey with birds. It was sort of by accident, and it was because of the kids. And so anyhow, over the last several years of working with birds, I've learned very quickly how, like, the role that nutrition plays in both the mood, especially dealing with roosters and toms, but also I started realizing more and more that, you know, it helped, like, having a proper nutrition for your birds on your farm actually, yeah, it's more than just giving them food and calcium and water and all of that. There's a whole panel of nutrients that chickens and poultry in general are not getting when you just buy the run-of-the-mill bags at the store.
Shall we say the P word, Purina?
Yes. The KFC of the poultry world.
That's right.
So anyhow,
there was a lot of what shall I say, for lack of a better word, conspiracy ideas going around about Purina changing their formula. What was it, two years ago, 3 years ago,
something like that.
A bunch of people were saying their chickens stopped laying eggs, and they thought it had to do with a change in Purina's formula, which is possible. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I think that was what kind of stimulated the awareness of nutrition for the birds in our minds. And it's like, you know, I wonder if there's something to that. And when we started looking into it, come to find out, when you're feeding basically the junk food of the poultry world to your birds, that's basically formulated to keep them alive and give them what they need to lay eggs.
Yeah.
Or to, if you're raising them for meat and you're using that kind of a feed mix, like with turkeys, mm-hmm. people are often raising turkeys for meat. So they get a feed that's specifically formulated for that. And it's all about getting the bird as fat as possible, as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about making sure that the bird is healthy and has all the nutrition that it needs to thrive and to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, that became an interesting quest, because we want to have nutrient dense food from the garden, but you know, it, with whatever we're going to eat, we want it to be as nutrient dense as possible.
Yes.
And this is an area that folks don't often think about.
And you know, with the nutrition, I think where I really saw it in play was when we were incubating eggs and we would have chicks that would come out with all kinds of issues. I think we even did a YouTube video on correcting a number of those issues, splayed legs, you know, wry neck, spinners. And, you know, I mean, we had a whole batch of turkey eggs that we hatched that was like that. And it was nuts.
And this is where the nutrition really comes,
yes.
is demonstrated to you in real life, is when you're raising birds, when you're hatching
when
them out.
When they're a pet and you're hatching them out for, yeah. That was really where I said, okay, I'd been dabbling in this nutrition question. And that was when I decided, okay, I really need to get to the bottom of it. So I ordered some books and started learning more. And yeah.
Made a huge difference in our outcomes when we were hatching birds.
Oh yeah.
We don't deal with those kinds of issues anymore to any great extent. You know, you're always going to have a certain percentage,
mm-hmm.
but the percentage is much smaller. And, you know, it was like that when one time Nathan got a batch of eggs from a guy in our area, and it was that batch that just had
that
all
batch.
Kinds of issues. And when we thought back about it, Lisa was like, that's right. I remember when we went and we got the eggs, I checked out what he was doing, and it was just
Purina,
run-of-the-mill Purina
and
food.
And not only was he feeding them Purina, but he was using the chicken laying formula for turkeys, for his laying turkeys. And he had some of the biggest eggs I've seen, but they were so nutritionally deficient that almost every chick that we hatched from that batch either didn't make it or had major, major issues. And so Nathan actually decided to sell them and start over again with eggs that come from a breeder that's actually one of the places we learned a lot of about nutrition,
yeah.
and how important it was. So,
and this is
anyway.
Why it's such a good idea to raise your own if you can, because you don't know. I mean, unless you know the person that you're getting their eggs from and know what they're doing, then you have no way of knowing whether those eggs, because they'll look the same. The eggs
yep.
look the same.
And even the chicks at the store look the same.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting. And so what you found though, and I know we're kind of getting into a side topic, because
yeah.
we were going to tell you about our
what we're standing
on, because this was the thing, but I feel like it's kind of all interrelated, because this has been a journey about realizing that if we're going to eat a product from this animal, then we want to make everything about this animal's life as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
And that means their nutrition and also their surroundings and what they're living in.
Mm-hmm.
But just real quickly, what you found was that if you if you want to improve the nutrition of the bird, you need to put them on a regimen that people put them on when they are doing them as showbirds or breeding them. It's like the breeding quality or showbird quality
supplements
and food is the way to go for that. And so, like, we will get, we don't get the Purina stuff, but we have a local grain company that will get a mix from that has, you know, the right percentage of protein and all of
the macronutrients.
And then Lisa's got this mix that I don't know what is it. It's almost
a powder
looks like
mix
got
that's got
kelp
all
the stuff.
It does. It's got a variety of different nutrients that really tackle that micronutrient issue for the poultry, the turkeys and the chickens. And so that's what I'm mixing into the feed now. I can maybe give a link to it below what I'm actually using. It's a little pricey, but somebody just recently was asking me about the difference between eggs and why some eggs are like super, like the yolks are super dark orange and then others, they're kind of a pale yellow. And that really is nutrition.
Right, you know? Right.
That's, and so nutrition's one of those factors.
So when we're pouring a bag of feed into the container, you're also
adding the supplement
to it. And so we do still buy our bird feed. We haven't figured that one out yet. That's another battle for another year, maybe figuring out how to grow our own chicken feed or come
so
up with
it. So we can
a,
be more sustainable.
Right. But for now, as long as we can get it, then it enables us to have healthy, high quality eggs for our family, which was part of the reason why we're doing this. But
yeah, another factor though in nutrition is I was learning about, like, as reading through those books, I came across one thing was talking about the bedding, because nutrition is just one aspect of keeping birds healthy. Another is, you know, the bedding and the coop and where they're living. And, you know, bedding can be a bit of a challenge.
Especially in our long winters.
Yes, especially with our long winters. And there's several feet of snow and the chickens come tiptoeing out of the coop. I mean, like, do I really want to go into the snow? Anyway, they live in the covered run most of the time. They spend a lot of time in here. And so when I was reading through that book, it was talking about the different options for chicken bedding for the health of the overall health of the bird. And at the top of the list was peat moss. That peat moss was like one of the best bedding options for your chickens.
And when we read that, it was like light bulb.
Yeah, I know.
Because we had tried other bedding and it worked. We'd tried wood chips, which is a popular one, straw. And, you know, it had worked, but we weren't super happy with it.
I was having to clean the coop out very often because especially with turkeys, you got a lot of
manure.
Manure, yes, thank you. A lot of waste material. And so it builds up really fast, and then it gets it all over the bottom of all the birds' feet, and then you end up with, you know, infections and different things that can pop up from having very poor quality...
Sanitation.
Yeah, sanitation, basically.
With the peat moss...
It's so absorbent.
So absorbent, and it's just a whole lot healthier for the birds. And
they even dust bathe in it. They love it so much.
when we come and shovel the stuff out, they get so excited and start dancing, and they come in here even in the middle of the day and have fun with the
Captain Sam, our rooster. He's keeping track of me. Whenever I clean his house out, he's always so excited.
He's right back there
watching us.
Says, I know what you're doing.
Captain Sam wanted to come and say hi. Anyhow.
But yeah, the light bulbs went off for us because our soil here, when it's unamended in its natural state, it is so silty and it doesn't hold water for anything. You can water it and very quickly it's dry. And so we need lots of humus content, for one thing, in our soil. And, you know, stuff like compost and ta-da, peat moss.
That's right.
It's a great amendment to add for increasing the water retention and the humus content in your soil. So it was like, well, why not do double duty here, where something that is going to improve the soil in our garden why not run it through the coop first?
Yes.
Where the birds are happier and healthier, and the peat moss picks up all this awesome
fertilizer
and then it goes into the garden and it works out really well. We end up with this big pile of enriched peat moss.
Yes. Well, and we put our kitchen scraps into our compost pile too. Right, and right. So it all works together for a really great amendment for our soil here.
Yeah. So windy day.
It is. All right. Well, Captain Sam's wondering why I'm not finishing.
Okay. Well, let's show you what it looks like.
Yes. Shall we finish? There you go. Oh, I know. So excited. Okay, during the winter time, I like to really build up the bottom of the coop really nice and deep. It makes it so much easier to keep clean in the winter time. So with a really nice deep bed, it's really absorbent. Okay, you can go. There you go. It's really absorbent. And so then all I have to do is just go in with the fork, clean off the top layer where they've been, where the manure is, and then just kind of mix it up a little bit from the deeper bedding, and I'm done. It's really simple and really easy. And then I just add a little bit throughout the winter. Sometimes I'll scrape enough out where eventually I just add another bag to the coop, and then I'm good to go for a good while. So anyhow, I've just finished digging out that deep peat moss that I've got in there, and I've got a nice big pile here. So now I'm just going to shovel this into our compost pile, and then I will go get another bag and bring it out and put that here in the coop. So let me go ahead and get that other bag of peat moss.
And one thing I might mention is one change that we're planning to make this summer is to this winter is to put the birds in a hoop house for the winter.
Yes.
And see, we haven't worked out all the details yet, but to build some sort of a coop in part of a hoop house where they are directly in there during the winter time in part of the hoop house at least. And they stay nice and, you know, much warmer and more, they like that kind of environment. We let them run in our greenhouse last winter.
They loved that.
They loved it. And so we were thinking about maybe just transitioning them to that for every winter, to like half of a hoop house or something like that, and then rotating them from one half to another so that all winter long they're building up and they're rototilling and fertilizing our hoop house.
Yeah, so I'm going to go get that bag of peat moss and I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. See how easily I got the peat moss?
At your beck and call.
Hey, it's okay. It's all right. I know. You're all right. I know. You're raising pain. This is little Love. Heidi named them, and she is getting ready to lay an egg, and she's letting the whole world know she's just about to lay an egg. So I'm going to put a little bit of this in the nesting boxes. And okay. I'm really sorry I'm going to disturb you and your little egg-laying project here, but I think you'd be more comfortable over there. All right. That'll give me a chance to clean this nesting box out because she was in it and I couldn't get it all cleaned out. I got it mostly cleaned out earlier, but I couldn't quite get it all cleaned out because she was in here. She crawled in here while I was working on it. So I'm just going to finish cleaning this out and then I'm going to add some peat moss to the nesting box like this. There we go. And I've got a turkey sitting in the other nesting box. So I won't be able to get that one, but I am going to go ahead and pull this in here. like so, and dump it out. The kids really enjoy doing this part too. And just, I'm only gonna use about half of this in here because it's summertime and they don't need all that extra for the summer, all that extra heat and everything. So we'll just save that for another time. Then I'm just gonna take it and spread it all around on the floor. Cover it all. They spend more of their time outside in the summer anyway, so.
We free range them whenever possible.
Yeah.
As long as we're home, the door is open during the day.
And yep.
They go out, but in the wintertime, they spend a lot of their time in the greenhouse.
Yes, they do. We keep a path shoveled between the coop and the greenhouse, and they start their daily march every morning when I open up the coop. They march over to the greenhouse, and then we can always tell when a chicken's about to lay an egg because she will start the egg march from the greenhouse back to the coop. But yes, that is all right. I'm gonna just grab a little bit more to put up here on this shelf up above them because we are gonna revamp the coop this summer too so that we don't have this issue up here on this shelf. But the chickens, I love to roost up on that shelf at night. So I always put a little bit of peat moss up there. All right, and now our coop is ready. Now is the fun task of shoveling out all this old stuff and putting it into our compost pile. And I'm gonna have the cameraman help me with that. So thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Ready Life Podcast. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, y'all.